بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, promised us, warned us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّا أَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when it was announced and last pronounced, that the one who is grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, Allah said, I will increase those blessings. And the one who is ungrateful, let him beware that my punishment is severe. This is also an expression of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say, I will punish him. With respect to the blessings, Allah said, I will bless. La in shakartum, la azidannakum. But wala in kafartum, Allah did not say, I will punish. Allah said, let him be aware that the punishment is there. So this is also from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalala. Today we are here on this day of Thanksgiving. And I want to remind myself and you that giving thanks is such an intrinsic part of our deen that sometimes it suffers the fate of most intrinsic things, which is that it gets ignored. Because there are some things which are so fundamental and basic that you never mention them. To give you an example, if I ask any of you to list for me three, in order of priority, three things that you look for in an airline if you are traveling, I can guarantee you that none of you will list safety as one of those three. You will talk about great food, you will talk about great cabin service, you will talk about comfort, you will talk about maybe the frequent flyer program, free upgrades, but nobody will say, you know, the number one thing for me is that the plane must take off safely and must land safely and I must not crash. I must not die. I'm not getting on this plane to die. Nobody will say that. Now, does it mean that it's not important? That is obvious. And what's the point of having brilliant cabin service and great food and then the plane crashes and you are dead? But the point is, the reason you don't say that is because it is so intrinsic and so basic that it's not even mentioned. And this is what happens with us with the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get so used to them, we are so accustomed to them, we just take it for granted. Now this yesterday, this thing hit home to me, subhanAllah, in a way which was completely unexpected. As I was, just like about the same time, last night we were sitting here, I got a phone call from India. One of my closest and dearest friends of what, 35 plus years, he suddenly had a massive heart attack and died. And in the grief of that message, what hit me was that he, Allah knows best, and I hope that is not true, but as far as I know, he died on his own religion, and that religion is not Islam. So he died without iman. And the question I ask myself is, how thankful have I been? And have I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gave me La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Because this kalimatani, these two sentences, are the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. I mean, it's something which is so supremely important that absolutely everything else pales into insignificance in front of these. Because nothing else is important. I mean, if no matter what we have in this world, it's not a dichotomous thing. It's not necessary that you have less here and more there or anything like that. I'm just saying, as just to illustrate, no matter what we have in this world, if we die without iman, then we are, the person who dies like that is gone, finished. People make this comment, even Muslims, for example, so-and-so died, is, oh, may his soul rest in peace. What does that mean? How will his soul rest in peace if he died without La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? But Allah gave us that. And for at least all of us in this room, we got it as part of our heritage. We didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to, you know, come out of some other religion to accept Islam. And my submission, I'm looking at myself, I'm saying that therefore, I feel that I do not have enough of value of that thing. The first thing I did yesterday was I went into sujood and I said, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, you gave me La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But this is the thing that we need to think about, because today, for example, when we look at Islam, and for a lot of us, and for those to whom this does not apply, all power to you, but for a lot of us, we see Islam really as a set of restrictions on our freedom to live our life the way we want. Now, I'm not saying that does not mean that you want to necessarily do haram. No, but simple things. I mean, for example, I have to pray 5 times a day. And at least a couple of those times are very inconvenient. You know, one is very early in the morning. I mean, that's the time I really want to sleep. Why must I get up at that time? Another one is the middle of the day. I'm in the middle of my work and all of that, which is Salatul Asr. So I'll pray later. I mean, why must I pray at this time? You know, this kind of you may not say I don't want to pray Asr, but these restrictions, right? Similarly, if dress code for how will you dress? What will you eat? You know, eat halal specifically like this. How will you earn? You know, from where? What is the source of earning? I want to start a business. Can I get an interest-based bank loan? Obviously, you can't, but that's a restriction. So for a lot of us, we see Islam just as a set of restrictions. That's it, period. Why do you follow that? Okay, I follow it. I mean, you know, my father follows it, mother follows it, my family follows it, so I also follow it. Or maybe I follow it because I'm afraid of the, you know, punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something. But really, that's it. If you seriously ask me, do I really love this thing? No, I'm not. I'm sorry, I don't love this thing. Do I really appreciate this thing? No, sorry, I don't appreciate this thing. I mean, again, I may not say that, but that is how it is inside me. And that is why when we look at the way we practice Islam, it's not full of joy, it's not full of anticipation, it's not full of enthusiasm, there's no shauk in it. It's a burden to be finished and done with, and okay, khalas, alhamdulillah, I've done. And that is why my submission is there is no barakah from this Islam in my life. If you ask me what is good in your life thanks to Islam, not anything else, you should be able to directly trace it. Here's the line, trace it directly to Islam. What is that thing in my life? I think this is something that we need to really sit and ask ourselves. And if that is not happening, then something is wrong in the way we are approaching this religion. Because that's not why Allah sent it. Because to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't make any difference. If I sleep through Fajr every day, what difference does it make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The salah is for me, it's not for Allah. Right? If I eat haram, I earn haram, I spend haram. What difference does it make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of these are for our benefit, but do we see the benefit in it? That's the whole point. So part of shukr, and that's why I'm saying this in connection with thanksgiving. Part of shukr is to appreciate what we have been given. So we learn to love it. And therefore we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I wear a seatbelt because I realize the value of the seatbelt. I'm not trusting the seatbelt for my life, but I'm saying here is a safety feature which is good to have, and I appreciate it, and therefore I use it. And then what happens is that then I don't see that as a nuisance, I don't see that as a painful thing. I say, no, as soon as I sit in my car, here's my seatbelt, it's good for me. Right? So that is, I think, a very important thing for us to do, and I want to end with that, which is as far as Thanksgiving is concerned, my submission is let us reflect on this beautiful religion of ours. Starting with the kalima itself, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And then going on to the practice of this deen and see for ourselves and recognize that everything that this deen has in the ahkam and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the beautiful sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is benefit for us. So that then we learn to love the deen, we learn to practice the deen out of love, out of a sense of great thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Alhamdulillah, ya Allah, you gave this deen for us. But that is what is from yesterday when I heard about my friend's death. This is what has been going on in my mind. That Alhamdulillah, this is what Allah has given. This is what Allah has given for the people who are bereaved now. They are, you know, a couple of them are going crazy with the grief. Whereas we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everything has to die. This time has come. So there is a solace, there is a comfort in the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what I think, if we can learn to appreciate our deen and to, then we also practice it. Because now when I appreciate it, I see the value of it, and I practice it. I practice it joyfully, not like a slave who is, you know, somehow finishing his term or somebody in jail. No, we do that with happiness and with joy, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, I want to make a special request to all of you. Our very dear friend and one of our musallis of our masjid, whose whole family are musallis of our masjid of MHMIC, of Mahmoud Habib Masjid and Islamic Center in Banjara Hills. Mashallah, his sons and grandson, they pray all the five salawat, alhamdulillah, in our masjid. His name is Mr. Ghulam Ahmed. And Mr. Ghulam Ahmed passed away yesterday. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him Jannatul Firdaus Ulala bi ghairi hisab, to fill his qabr with noor, to make his qabr from among the gardens of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the benefit of Sadqatul Jariyah from his beautiful family, all of whom, alhamdulillah, are people of honor, people who are regular with their salah and with their and they love Islam and they love Allah and they love Muhammad Rasulullah, and alhamdulillah, I am witness to that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give his family sabr to deal with this grief. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to record Ghulam Ahmed in the list of shuhada, those who are shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the family to deal with the grief. Difficult times, but we also remember and remind ourselves that death is a part of life, and for the mu'min, for the believer, death is inshallah bashara. It is good news because he is meeting his Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, whom he tried his best to please in this life, who he obeyed, and who he followed, and he worshipped, and he did not make shirk, he did not join partners with Allah. So inshallah, when he dies in a state free from sin. Allah would have forgiven him his sins. And in the case of Ghulam Asaab, alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even if a thorn pricks the foot of a believer, Allah forgives sins. And Ghulam Asaab had to go through a very painful and prolonged illness, as a result of which, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all his sins, that he meets Allah in a state where he is completely purified from all sins. And we ask Allah to accept him in his grace, in his mercy, and in his maghfirah, in his forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.